Christ for this great opportunity. We are thankful to God that He has blessed us to be able to come and to declare the good news. We are thankful to the elders, the deacons, the ministers, teachers, and members of this very fine congregation for this opportunity. I am so thankful to Brother and Sister Cordell for taking us out to dinner or to lunch, whichever one you want to say, this afternoon. And we are grateful to the congregation for the fine way in which they endowed the elder and his wife with that opportunity for us. We appreciate Brother Balcom and the fine way in which this great congregation has grown and developed, and it's a congregation that's well known in this area, and we thank God for Fairview Church of Christ. You've had me a number of times to speak and to encourage you, and I'm thankful for that. I appreciate that. I appreciate that you remembered me for this great gospel meeting, and I want to encourage you to bring others with you so that we can hear the gospel of Christ. Brother Spicer has done a fine job in leading us in our singing, not only this afternoon, but this morning as well. And the beautiful prayer that Brother Hatchett rendered on behalf of us and so many in the congregation, we thank you for that. I see members from Liberty Lincoln Church of Christ, the minister, Brother and Sister Buckner, and we appreciate them. And, of course, the Binkleys and fine family, a beautiful family. And I love to hear Mike sing. I tell you, I appreciate that. And Brother Spicer, if you put the two together, you might have a little competition here. And we appreciate that. It's nothing like good singing in the Lord's church. So you, and as well as Mike, thank you so much. And others of you who are visiting from sister congregations, thank you for being with us. I'm always glad to have my wife with me. And she helps me to come up and down the road, and she makes sure that I get things right. And when I don't, she tells me from wherever we are all the way home. So I'm glad it's not too far from Fairview to where we live. I won't get too much of a discourse, but I appreciate that. I asked her, I said, how did I do in Sunday school? Well, I thought you were going to teach on grace. I said, oh, okay, all right. I would have liked grace better. But I said, let's stay connected in Jesus Christ. And then a few minutes ago, she touched me, and she said, you just talked from Romans 8. And I said, yeah, the other half of it. So we're going to look at Romans chapter 8, and the verses are 1 through at least 33. Romans chapter 8, and we'll go from verses 1 to 32 at least. And I appreciate each and every one of you coming, and I appreciate those who are visiting with us. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, I encourage you to put your Savior on in baptism for the remission of sins. I encourage you to come and ask for prayer. I encourage you to come and place membership right here at Fairview Church of Christ. And I discourage you from leaving here without being on the Lord's side. We are members of the North, well, not we haven't placed our membership yet, but we're at the Northside Church of Christ in Nashville, Tennessee. We were members for the longest at the Jackson Street Church of Christ. And then when COVID hit, and when our new young minister came, I said, well, this is an opportunity for us to branch out a little bit more and to learn some material and be a part of some material that we've never been a part of. And so my wife agreed, and one of our son-in-laws is an elder at the congregation, and we've been enjoying the lessons that they've been preparing on discipleship, not discipling movement, but discipleship, and how we can encourage more to become a part of the Lord's church. And we appreciate that, and God has blessed us to be able to retire from Jackson Street and to move into that ministry after encouraging Brother and Sister Jackson at the congregation there at Jackson Street. Stayed there a long time, and he is a very powerful minister. So we hope that Fairview will be able to have Brother Jackson at some time, or Liberty Lincoln, or other congregations in the future. He's a very strong minister, and I think you'll love him. Well, we want to look at the subject this afternoon, life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit. And I want to encourage you from Romans chapter 8, starting at verse number 1, that if you're not in the Lord, you'll want to be in the Lord, hopefully, after this message. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. Life in the Spirit is something that I certainly enjoy. I am so happy to be a member of the Lord's church. I'm happy to be a Christian. I'm happy to be Christ-like. And I think that if you are not a member of the church, or if you are a member of the church, you will certainly attest to the fact that after becoming a member, it's wonderful to be a Christian. And in being a member, it's wonderful to be Christ-like, to be in the Spirit, because there is no condemnation in the Spirit. Judgment Day is not for those of us in the church to be sent to hell. Judgment Day for those of us who are in the church is a reward. It's an opportunity to be able to be with the Master forever and ever and ever. It's an opportunity to go from this low ground of sorrow where we have all kinds of problems. And I gave the scripture this morning that each and every one of us, John chapter 8 and verse 44, are a part of the devil seeking after us, warning us. And I preached on the subject because I was asked to, the same subject that I preached at Liberty Lincoln, the predator and the prey. And all I simply said is that the devil is after every one of us. And John 8 tells us that he is a liar. That's his conversation. That's his native language. English is my native language. And the devil's native language is a lie. And he's a murderer. And there are people who are murdering one another, sometimes for no reason at all. And is there any reason to murder somebody? No. But there are people who are killing one right after another in Afghanistan. Yes, it was a difficult departure when after over 20 years you are a part of something trying to maybe seek an alternative for 911. And help us to be able to come more of a people that love one another. It was some revenge for 911. But in pulling out, there were individuals who were seeking to kill soldiers who were leaving the country. Their own people who were still in the country, some of them trying to leave. The brutality and the prejudiceness that they were going to be a part of had they not left. Can you imagine an individual killing himself, sending himself straight to hell, no time for repentance, coming as a human bomb to kill as many individuals as he could kill? Can you even imagine that? And I told you, there were people who were young people who were going to have another Columbine. And they were devising a plan, maybe in 2024, maybe even before 2024. And they were going to seek to kill even more than those who were killed in Columbine. The devil is after every one of us. He's a murderer and he's a liar. And I told you in Genesis 3, he told Eve, go ahead and take of the forbidden fruit. You're not going to die. The Lord said you're going to die, but he knows that when you partake of that, you're going to know what he knows. And he just doesn't want you to do that. So go ahead and partake. She partook. And the Bible says, gave it to Adam and Adam partook. But he said, you're not going to die. Don't worry about that. You're not going to die. So the alternative to not living a life in the Spirit is living a life of condemnation and having a home in hell with Satan and his angels. But Judgment Day is going to be a reward to those of us who are in Christ. Just take your finger and leave it there at Romans chapter 8 and go to Revelation chapter 21 and look at just the first discourse there. John, who was banished to the Isle of Patmos for preaching the gospel, look at what he had to say when he saw this vision. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, Revelation 21, and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. New Jerusalem, the Bible says. The Bible says he saw this holy city coming from God. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and they are faithful. And he said, the Bible says, he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And the Bible says, he that is fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And then in Revelation 22, he says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in it, the Bible says, there was no night. In the midst of the street, the Bible says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there were trees of life, which bear 12 manner of fruit, and yielded the fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be, the Bible says, there shall be no more curse. For the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. And the Bible says, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The beauty of living a Christian life means that heaven is a great reward for us. No more tears, no more death, no more pain. I don't know about you, but as I get older, I get up in the mornings and I get ready to do what I'm going to do for the day. And my legs say, nah, I'm going to sleep a little bit longer. My head says, I'm ready to go. My body says, I'm ready to go. But the lower part, the legs say, nah, I'm going to sleep a little longer. And I have to get up and make them get up. It's time to get up. Get up. Get up, you lazy legs. Your knees that you don't want to move, come on now, you got to move, you got to move them. And sometimes the arms don't want to get up. I just wish some morning, and most mornings, my whole body would be ready to get up when my mind says get up. And then sometimes I can't remember to get up. My mind doesn't want to work right. I don't know. I tell you, the body just gets older, Ecclesiastes 12, as we continue to live. But the Bible says, no more pain in heaven up above. No more death in heaven up above. I'm so happy that life in the spirit is wonderful. I'm so happy that being a Christian means that we don't have to suffer like that anymore. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 2. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. What the Bible is saying is that the law was a very condemning law. It was difficult for anyone to keep the law. But the Bible tells me that the law taught me what sin was. And so under the law, some things that I learned helped me to be able to have more life in the spirit. And the Bible lets me know that under the law, there was no salvation. The sins were remembered from year to year, and animal sacrifices had to be offered up in atonement for our sins. And Hebrews chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, all of those chapters let me know that the blood of Jesus was enough to save me in this day and age. And no more do we have to have the blood of goats and bulls, but we have the blood of a precious lamb. A lamb without blemish. We have the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary. Life in the spirit means that we have salvation through obedience to Jesus Christ. God sent his only son to die so that we might have the right to eternal life through obedience in the word of God. The Bible is so wonderful. It's so pure. And the Bible says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Because the Bible says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. When we were walking contrary to the commands of God, we wanted to do the things that were contrary to the word of God. And once you start practicing sin, sin becomes a part of you. That's why we have to practice living in the spirit. Because the fleshly part of man wants to live after the flesh. The fleshly part of man wants to do wrong. It has a desire to do wrong. But life in the spirit has a desire to want to do things that are right. That's why I'm married. Hebrews 13 and 4. Marriage is honorable in the Lord, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Somebody says, oh, well, you know, I'm not willing to get married right now. I'm not ready to get married right now. I just want to kind of play around. I just want to kind of enjoy this person, that person, doing this, doing that. For real? For real? The Bible says that whoremongers and adulterers, God is going to judge. So life in the spirit means that in order to satisfy the fleshly part of man, God allows us to marry. And that marriage makes things even better for us in our lives. And if you're sitting beside your wife or your husband, you know what I'm talking about. Isn't it more wonderful to be married and shacking around and playing around and running around. When you wake up with that mate on a regular basis, when you go through life with that mate, life in the spirit means obedience to the word of God. I don't have to worry about somebody being behind my back and tapping me on the shoulder and saying, put your hands behind your back, and then clapping some metal wrist holders on me, handcuffs. I don't have to worry about that because I'm working, hello, and I'm earning a living by the sweat of my brow. And I don't have to worry about somebody getting me for stealing. When I walk into the bank, and some of you can ascribe to this, but you probably don't want to, but you probably don't want to admit to it. But when I walk into the bank and I tell them to cash a $50 check for me, and they have that little machine there that counts out my $50, and you can look back behind them, and there may be a teller or someone else in a cage that's got thousands of dollars in their account. And I'm saying, look at my $50. Boy, if I could get my hands on those thousands that they're back there counting, whoa, I'd be so happy. And you can get your hands on them. All you got to do is pull that COVID mask up over your nose and just point that little weapon that you have, and they'll give you every bit of that. But then somebody's going to tap you on the back one day, on the shoulder, and you're going to be arrested. Life in the spirit helps me to be rewarded with living right and having right follow me. Yes, it's hard to work for 30, 40, 50 years, but the reward is so much happier than being incarcerated and within walls, just blocks. Small in nature, the room. Individuals that are constantly watching you. Individuals who will take your life if you don't do this or do that. I visit the prison. I work in the prison. I worked when I first married my wife behind the wall in the Tennessee State Penitentiary. And it was no fun walking in and having those bars clam or slam shut behind me. I used to wonder, how in the world does anybody tolerate being in here? And then I found out, wanting something for nothing put a lot of them behind those bars. Life in the spirit helps you to enjoy yourself, helps you to earn a living by the sweat of your brow, helps you to enjoy life even better, earning, making love, and making life a part of living. For to be carnally minded, the Bible says in verse 6, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You can go to bed at night knowing that if the Lord comes back, he's coming back to reward you. Isn't that a great thought? Isn't that a wonderful experience to not worry about if you die tonight, that the Lord comes back in the morning? Heaven is going to be your home. Or even if you die tonight in the Lord and the Lord doesn't come back tomorrow, when the Lord does come back, the dead in Christ shall rise first. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm excited about the fact that we'll be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Wow. And not hear Satan say, depart from me. Not hear the Lord say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, I never knew you. The Bible says right here, for to be worldly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why? Romans chapter 8, verse number 7. Paul speaking to the Roman brethren and us too. Because the carnal mind, the mind that is filled with sin, is against God. It's a separator between God and man. It's enmity between God and man. The Bible says it's the enmity against God. And for it, the Bible says, it's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so, the Bible says, he that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If you turn with me to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, the Word of God brings this out so beautifully. It lets us know how wonderful it is to be in Jesus Christ. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And look at what the Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 2 about life in the Spirit and about how wonderful it is. It's a new life. And you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Whereas in times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. When we were in the flesh, we didn't have a new life in Christ. We didn't live in the Spirit. And we were always scared. There are people who are constantly afraid that the Lord's coming back and He's going to catch me. Well, we've got some grace in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6 says that there's unmerited favor for those of us who are in the Spirit. There's grace. Does grace keep on abounding if we keep on sinning? The Bible says no. Grace doesn't abound if we keep on sinning. But grace, unmerited favor, has been given to those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who have life in the Spirit. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, it's a new life with Jesus Christ. The old life is no longer a part of us, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So many people don't want to admit to having done anything wrong. And I used to find that out as I continued to grow up in the church and was being condemned for all kinds of things, chewing chewing gum in church. Amen. Talking, doing services. Amen. There were people who were constantly on us as we were growing up. Don't run in the church house. It was even a sin almost in their minds if we touched the communion table. Amen. Some of you might remember that. It was just rough for people who were constantly condemning you and condemning you and condemning you. But the Bible says there's a new life in Jesus Christ. There's life in the Spirit. We don't have to walk around thinking that our past sins are going to condemn us. And we don't have to worry about people constantly putting us down and constantly telling us that we're going to hell, we're going to hell, we're going to hell. I'm in the Spirit and I'm happy that in Jesus Christ, by living right, heaven can be my home. I'm excited about going to heaven. They ought to be excited about going to heaven. The Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, Ephesians 2 and verse 4, even when we were dead in sins, He's quickened us, He's made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. He's raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Boy, for by grace are ye saved. Not of a bunch of works, but it's grace. Christ has saved us. It's unmerited favor. But God, live your life and enjoy your life. Enjoy life in the Spirit. Enjoy being a child of God. The songs that I grew up with, I find them to be so different than the songs that I sang in the services. And those songs were constantly encouraging me to do wrong, especially when the rapping came out. It encouraged me to be against the police. It encouraged me to be against the law. It constantly told me that this group of people and that group of people ought to be against each other because we're culturally different, because our skin colors are different, and life outside of Christ, I was constantly being encouraged to do wrong. And then as a member of the Lord's church, I come and I hear beautiful songs that lift me up and that help me to love one another and to appreciate one another, and how the song says everybody will be happy over there some glad morning, I'll fly away. What a beautiful home it is in heaven up above. When you hear songs like that, and when you become a part of that, you have life in the Spirit and not death with Satan and his angels. I'm so glad to be a child of God. I'm glad to be a Christian. And some of you are saying, well, Brother Crowder, you know, being a Christian, you're not always popular. No, you're not going to be popular. Look at go with me to verse number 18, and look at what the Bible says about the future glory in Jesus Christ, life in the Spirit. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. What the Bible is saying is that there's a lot of suffering that's going on right now, but nothing can be compared with the glory which awaits those of us who have life in the Spirit. There's going to be some suffering on this earth because we are a child of God. And it's almost like the pains of a mother going through childbirth. We groan now, but oh, look at the reward of having life in the Spirit. How beautiful it is. How wonderful it is. How happy we are in Jesus Christ. Those who may not be married, the Bible says when you are buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of sins, you are married to Jesus Christ, and he's coming back for his bride. Oh, it's beautiful to think about a bride adorned for a husband. I can remember when Ethel, who was my girlfriend, came through that door dressed and prepared as a bride ready for me. Oh, how beautiful it was to see her come through that door. And she was all mine. She had a boyfriend named Herbert Henry. Ha, ha, Herbert, she's not yours anymore. Ha, 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 anybody else? She's mine coming through that door. Hey, man, she didn't think I knew Herbert Henry. I knew Herbert. A bride coming through that door, adorned, dressed, ready for just me and me only. And I thank God we've enjoyed those years together. And that's what Christ says. He's coming for His bride. He's coming for those of us who are buried with him in baptism. And he says that he's coming for his bride that's adorned in white apparel. He's looking for us who are pure, who have lived a life in the Spirit. He's coming back to reward us. And he says it's hard in life right now, but that's not to be compared with the glory. Think about death and think about our loved ones who have passed away. Think about those who had COVID and struggled, and over 600 and some thousand people dead because of the disease of COVID. Think about the homes that were wrecked. Think about the families that were wrecked. And then he says, when I come to you, there's life in the Spirit. You don't have to worry about death anymore, pain anymore. You don't have to worry about the former things of life because they've all passed away. And then somebody says, well, now we're going to open the pearly gates and we're going to walk down the street of gold. And that's figurative, Brother Crowder. Yes, it is maybe figurative, but it's something I can identify with. And Jesus used parables that we all could identify with. I'm looking forward to pushing a door that does open and is pearly. I know pearls are beautiful. I know that when I wanted to buy my wife some pearls, I couldn't do it because it was costly. It was expensive. Pearly gates. A path, a street of gold. Foundations of precious stones. Nothing here can compare with the way heaven is going to be for those of us who have life in the Spirit. For we are saved by hope. But the hope that is seen, says Romans 8:24, is not hope for what a man seeth. Why doth he yet hope for? If we've already got it, what are we hoping for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I'm waiting on heaven. I'm hoping that I'm going to be in heaven. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession with us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Life in the Spirit means we have an attorney. We have Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit working with us to tell God why we did this and why we did that and why we're not doing what we ought to do all the time that we ought to be doing it, why we sin with omission and commission. We have God hearing from Jesus and hearing from the Holy Spirit, and he's having mercy on us because of them interceding for us. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Life in the Spirit means that God, as I said, foreknew that we were going to sin. And he sent Jesus, the Lamb without blemish, the perfect Lamb, the Lamb of Judah. He sent Jesus to die on Calvary so that we might have life and have it more abundantly, so that heaven can be our home, so that things we don't even know about which exist in heaven, it's going to be wonderful, it's going to be beautiful, it's going to be fantastic. But we got to live right on this earth. And if you're here, you're not a member of the Lord's church, You need to know that Christ and the Holy Spirit are pleading to God to have mercy on us. You need to know that our attorneys in heaven are asking God to save us. And our attorneys in heaven are helping us. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand the Bible even clearer. And at the point of baptism, Acts chapter 2, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, isn't that wonderful? To help me to understand this word and to help me to walk right and talk right and sing right and pray right and act right. That's the beauty of being in Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to life in the Spirit so that staying in that straight and narrow way will reward me with a home in heaven. I'm looking forward to when I die, being able to rise and hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come, I'll make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Woo, life in the Spirit is so much better than life outside Jesus Christ. There's no one pleading for us outside of Jesus. No one. Satan is just a devourer, like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Come to Jesus, hearing his word, Romans 10:17, believing it, Hebrews 11:6, repenting of our sins, Luke 13:3, confessing Christ to be the Son of God, Matthew 10:32, so that he will tell God he knows us come judgment day, Matthew 10:33, rising after being buried with him in baptism, Acts 2:37-38, Romans 6, walking, verse 4, in the newness of life, Romans 6:4. Being able to be a part of the church we read about in the Bible. We sing like God wants us to sing. We sing without instrumental music. I can't find instruments in the Bible, but I can see that in the New Testament, it says with the fruit of our lips, Hebrews 13:14-16, Ephesians 5:19. I know that, so I'm going to keep singing like that because I know that that's pleasing to God. Colossians 3:15-16. I'm also going to commune every first day of the week, not once a month, not once a year. I'm going to commune like the apostles, the disciples did, Acts 20:7. I'm going to continue to give not grudgingly, not of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, 2 Corinthians 9. I'm going to continue to pray, 1 Thessalonians 5:15-17. I'm not going to quench the Spirit. I'm going to continue to preach the word of God, Acts 2. I want to encourage you to do the same, and he'll add you to his church, Matthew 16:13-19. Acts 2:47, those who have been baptized in Christ, he adds to the church daily. I'm so glad the church doesn't have to vote on whether or not I'm going to be a part of it. But when I'm obedient to Jesus Christ, he does the adding. Come to Jesus and come to him right now and have life in the Spirit and enjoy being happy in Jesus Christ. You don't have to suck on lemons when you are a Christian. You don't have to walk around, I'm going to hell, I'm going to hell, I'm going to hell, I'm going to heaven. You can go to hell if you want to. I'm going to heaven. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. I'm trying to live according to the word of God. I'm standing in the straight and narrow way. I have the Holy Spirit helping me when I deviate. I have Jesus Christ pleading to God on my behalf. The Holy Spirit pleading to God on my behalf. It's beautiful living a life in the Spirit where there's no condemnation, where there's things in heaven not even descriptive in the word of God, things I can't even imagine. Come to him as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.